And welcome everybody to episode 30 of Digesting Cinema with Aaron and Christina. I'm your host, Aaron, and as always, I'm here with my fellow host, my super host, Christina. And we are joined this week by a very special guest. I'll get to him in a second, but the subject we're covering is based off a video game, big time gamer here in Christina. So we went with the first video game adaptation, maybe the best, maybe the not the best, in the Super Mario Brothers movie. Before I get to that, let me get to Christina. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And I don't play any video games. I've never even owned like a gaming console until I married my husband. So yeah, I don't really play video games. I don't know anything about video games. I think the only video game I ever actually played, like when I was a kid at like my friend's house, was Crash Bandicoot, which is like pretty lit, unlike this movie.
Beautiful. Yeah. We have the Killer Bees. That's our biggest fans. They all happen to have bees in their names. We had Brian on for Solo. That was a life-changing podcast and movie for me, just because of how great that was. I don't want to tip my hand about the movie yet, but I can tip my hand about the guests. We're gonna have a great one here. One of our biggest supporters, if you're following us on Twitter, you're gonna see the like, you're gonna see the retweet. It's our man Billy P of the See You Next Summer podcast. Go and check that out, available on all podcast platforms at SYNS Pod on Twitter as well. But Billy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, and I feel like you brought me here just because I have a mustache. And yeah, I mean, come on, man.
You fit right in this world, lizard or real world, like, either dimension.
Like, everybody has to understand that I asked Aaron to be on this podcast many moons ago, and I picked some of the categories. You know, I picked Westerns, Noir, and video game, because I thought that would be fun. And then I just knew he was going to pick video games and just be like, because I also know that video game movies have a notorious reputation for being just not good. And I'm just like, you know, it would be me to choose like a terrible movie.
Yeah, I'm sure your Western was great. I'm sure your Noir was great. Maybe a Chinatown in there for the
Noir. I mean, you guys have covered such great movies such as The Blair Witch Project and Blade Runner, or the always masterful movie Cinema.
Well, we're back in cinema this week with the 1993 version of the Super Mario Brothers movie. Super Mario Bros. Oh, I'm sorry. This is the first one. It is a trailblazing movie. It paved the way for greatness such as Assassin's Creed, Angry Birds 2, just so many other amazing pieces. We have a Tetris movie coming out soon. If it wasn't for the Super Mario Bros. Movie, we wouldn't have all those movies. So you're welcome, first and foremost there. But before we hop in with our boots that make us jump like a little bit higher than without boots, let's head over to Christina and IMDb for a little synopsis of whatever world we were in.
Okay. So the synopsis is, two Brooklyn plumbers, Mario and Luigi, must travel to another dimension to rescue a princess from the evil dictator King Koopa and stop him from taking over the world.
Excellent. 5 stars for that synopsis. That is what happens in the movie.
Yeah, and I just want to point out right off the bat, so that's two Italian plumbers, right? So you cast a British man and a Latino. All right, that's one strike. This movie was written by 4 people. Keep that in mind. And Dennis Hopper. Oh my God, we got to talk about him.
Yeah.
Was it awful.
Dennis Hopper and Bob Hoskins were amazing, first and foremost. John Leguizamo could not swim with those two talents at all.
His acting ever improved since then? Or is it like, I feel like he's
Good movie? I don't think he's ever been good in a movie. Like, I think they've just like made his character like not a good actor. And that's,
he's
like,
been in good movies like Wong Fu and shit like that.
Carlito's Way.
The Happening.
My case in point. So no is the short answer. And it's interesting because Bob Hoskins was coming off of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, of course. So like that kind of repainted how people defined his career. But before that, he was like known for pretty serious, gritty, noir, hard-boiled detective stories. Like, and so now this ending his career this way, like he had a lot of complaints on the movie also. I think he said he got stabbed 4 times during production of this movie. Like
he almost drowned.
He almost drowned. I think he had a 2-hour tirade on set one day just about the movie constantly being rewritten and how little sense it made. Yet his performance is great. I thought he was hilarious. Just want to make very clear off the bat. I've seen this movie about 150 times as a kid. This movie, Surf Ninjas, Three Ninjas, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Secret of the Ooze. Those four movies would be rotated. And this was right in that rotation. To me as a kid, this was like my serious gritty movie that I would watch because it was very, very dark. Besides, I guess we'll start with the opening though. Was anybody concerned they weren't watching the right movie with the opening weird animated talking dinosaur?
I definitely was. It wasn't on streaming. Anthony went downstairs and got his because we own it.
You're embarrassed.
You married the right one. You married the right one.
Because I was like, I don't think I can watch this. It's not streaming anywhere. And Anthony's like, don't worry, babe. Like, I'll come to your rescue. I own it. So I'm like, great. So he puts it in. I'm like, bro, did you put in the right DVD or Blu-ray or whatever? I hope he don't own it on Blu-ray. I feel like that's a waste of money.
No, but, it has not had a Blu-ray release yet.
Okay. So I was like, what the F is happening? Like, I know nothing of this movie. The only thing I know about the game is like, they're in like a bright, colorful world. Yes. And they have to like collect stars and all this stuff. So I was like, oh, it's going to be based on the video game. And like, it's going to be bright and funny and shiny and all this stuff. And it has to do with like, so like, what if the dinosaurs didn't all totally die and they went to like an alternate universe?
Well, when the meteorite hit, what happened is that all the dinosaurs went to another dimension where they continued to evolve into lizard people, some of them, and then others of them like just straight lizards. And then our dimension does exist. So this is based on real events, possibly. No one can prove this isn't what happened when the meteor hit 65 million years ago. And so even Princess Daisy, she's like a dinosaur princess who was transported here because King Koopa wanted to take over.
But here's my thing. Why
That's
is
why she's delivered it at the beginning.
But why isn't she Princess Peach? You have Yoshi in this movie. You have a Toad. You have Mario. You have Luigi.
There are so
we're
many.
We're just going to make something up.
Well, Princess Daisy does exist, I believe, at least now.
She in like Nintendo canon?
In Nintendo canon. I'm a gamer. Used to be a gamer. Not as much anymore, but I played all the Mario games growing up. This is not an adaptation of Mario. It's so weird in that way because first and foremost, you look at a Mario game, even if you haven't played it, as you said, it's bright, colorful. Like you think that's where they'd start. Instead, before we have like a gritty, like plumber love story type of thing going on for like the first 15 minutes, which I thought the first 15 minutes were actually pretty fun. It was cool to see their dynamic a little bit. They went to dinner, like Luigi falls in love with Daisy. He's not good at flirting at all. I thought the first 15 minutes were kind of fun, and it could have been just like a story about struggling plumbers, like helping a girl being harassed at her dig site by a, you know, a mob Scarpoli guy boss, who's also not based on any of the video game. Also, have a theory right off the bat, and then I'll let you guys talk also.
I was going to say, Aaron, can you breathe?
But my theory is that this was not originally a Super Mario movie, and they kind of shoehorned in those things to make it the first video game adaptation. I think they had a weird script about like this weird universe where it was split into two worlds, and they're like, let's put Super Mario into that because nothing about this makes sense as an adaptation.
I mean, how else are you marketing this? Because it really didn't have to be Mario and Luigi. It's kind of like, here's our really weird idea, and the only way we're going to get kids and people to see it is if we make it something that they already know. Because nothing of this like had to be related to Nintendo. Like, did Nintendo even sign off on this movie for them to like use this?
Yes, and I got some facts. First of all, that narrator in the beginning is Homer Simpson himself, Dan Castellaneta. Would have never guessed that.
Okay, Homer.
Yeah, fucking Homer doing a Brooklyn accent. He's just like, hey, you know the dinosaurs. What if they continue to evolve? Hey, Angela.
This is not what would happen to them. I'm pretty sure. I'm not a scientist, but this isn't what would happen. But
I mean, it does explain some people I know. They probably are lizard people. So.
Right.
Definitely. And also Daisy Samantha Mathis, who... Have you ever seen Ferngully? It's Krista from Ferngully.
God, I love Ferngully.
So every time she talked, I was just like, I just needed a tree just to go like, but can't you feel its pain?
Oh my God, you just blew my mind. I've been wondering who she sounded like for my entire
life. Krista is hot. too. Like,
very, very attractive.
Yeah. Yo, like, people had sexual awakenings watching Fern Gully.
I was
both
there.
Krista and Zach were hot tees, yeah, but I digress.
Yeah, fact, sure. That is amazing fact. I've heard her voice for so long. Even as a kid, I was like, I've heard this somewhere else, because Fern Gully probably is that fifth movie in my rotation. So Samantha Mathis, like, yeah, you were a formative part of my growing up between Princess Daisy and Krista.
You know, if a silent voice wasn't so good, I was going to suggest Fern Gully for our episode last
week. I would
week.
Much rather talk about Fern Gully than the Super Mario Brothers
movie. Stop it.
Hey, I like some parts of this, but...
What are your thoughts on the video game adaptation? Like, could it be any more off from what the games were?
Well, I am an avid Mario player. I mean, again, mustache, but even before that, I grew up on playing the Super Mario Brothers games, and I was just like, okay, some of the stuff, like the Goombas, those are not Goombas. No. Like, what the hell? They're huge. They're like little mushroom guys with like faces originally. Toad, right. I don't know what the hell they were smoking when they were coming up with Toad.
Yeah.
And he's a little guy that's just like, your princess is in another castle, Mario.
But yeah, he's a 40-year-old beatnik hippie in this movie. I suggest as we go, Christina, that you Google these characters to see how off most of them, besides the two maybe Mario Brothers, you could argue.
They were all, hello, Yoshi? Even Anthony was like, do you know who this is?
I knew who
it
was.
It's a dinosaur. And he's like, oh, and who in Nintendo is a dinosaur? And I was like, why are you talking to me like I'm five?
It brings you back.
But I needed that because there was no way I was going to connect the dots on my own without them being like, no. And this is Yoshi. And I was like, bitch, no, it's not. Yoshi's like, not.
And no, it's not Toad. Look at what Toad looks like. He's just like a little mushroom fella. And then this movie, they made him a big hippie.
And there wasn't even any, yahoo!
Like, nothing. No, there was a weird there was a weird wind up bomb at the end. That was
the bomb.
Yeah,
that actually was pretty accurate. I mean,
like, yes, that's
typically
like
it's bigger, but it's not like this tiny little fucking like
that's like
the something bomb. You can fit in your palm
upside down.
The fungus also. What the hell?
Trust the fungus.
So I've trusted the fungus on many occasions, so I am not one to judge on that front, but I don't know where the hell they got the idea to just like fill the world with earwax and be like, this is just like, there's no Mario level like this. This is why I think this was not a Mario movie. And this is going to just be like a steampunk, weird, like Mad Max, Blade Runner type of world that they're just like, make it a Mario world. Like, it was fine until Daisy took the crystal and got taken away by the goons, and then this movie just got so batshit crazy that it was just like, yo, if you're under a substance or if you're getting drunk to this movie, you're gonna have at least fun laughing at it. But I agree that it did not work for the most part. I will get
I
to
appreciate that they kept telling everyone that they're from Brooklyn. Like, we're not from here. We're from Brooklyn. And like back then in the 90s, I don't think Brooklyn was like all that nice. Like, it's nice now, but yeah, it was not nice back then.
So no, it's not.
It's supposed to be Manhattan. Like, I don't even recognize this. Like, I haven't been here in a week. I'm like, yeah. Oh, Manhattan's really going downhill in a week. But like, there's like grandmothers that are assaulting people with like high-powered weapons.
Yeah. I swear there's like a porn theater in there and like a tattoo. It's just like, is this for kids?
Yeah, there was. Just also reading up on the production of this movie.
Yeah.
It was so entertaining because you get people that were offered the roles of Mario and Luigi. Like, Dustin Hoffman wanted to play Mario. Danny DeVito Crazy. Was offered Mario. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Michael Keaton were approached for Koopa. Tom Hanks was considered for Luigi, but that was when he was in that period of like bad box office disappointments, so he was out. And also the club scene. Oh, interesting story about this, because John Leguizamo admitted those women in the club, the ones that look like prostitutes,
they
were actual hookers. They just that got from the sense. Streets. And every single person, like from Bob Hoskins to Dennis Hopper, were just like, no, it was awful. The directors didn't know what the hell they were doing. They were very controlling.
It was two directors, too.
So two directors.
We're, I think, our fifth straight movie directed by a woman this week. So
yeah, and I said last week, too, I was like, oh, man, women just make great films.
Yeah, well, we're here to prove you wrong. It was probably mostly the man's fault, though. But with this podcast, I don't think there's a point to try to go beat by beat. I think it's more taking the pieces here and just the movie was all over the place. I'm going to say that first and foremost. And the weird choice to have the fungus everywhere was weird. But I found it very impressive also. Like, I just think from a visual standpoint and production standpoint, until like the very end of the movie where they clearly ran out of money when Koopa just melts into like jello that hasn't been in the fridge yet. There's like, oh, I don't know. He's just going to die from these super soakers. I don't know. Other than that, like the sparks coming off like the vehicles, all the differently dressed people. Like,
actually, they were a Saturn nominee for best costume and best makeup.
Oh, well, well done. Saturn knows their sci-fi and like horror. And like, I feel this is like a sci-fi, you know, I guess.
Like, this is not a good film. I think it was made worse, though, that it's a Super Mario Brothers movie. If you would have just
such a weird decision,
yeah, and they weren't in it, and you did the exact same premise, and you just mm-hmm. changed up the Nintendo names, it's mm-hmm. still not good, but it's definitely better.
Yeah. I mean, it's like less distracting for sure. What are your thoughts on that, Billy?
I know they were waiting for a woohoo, but yeah, got a woo. And no, I just really think that they were just like, all right, what's popular right now? Because this was the early 90s. This is when yeah. Nintendo was at the height of its power. Yep. And they're just like, shit, let's just do a Mario movie. Everybody likes Mario, right? They can't really do Sonic. That's not Nintendo. That's Nintendo's biggest rival, which right. I would much rather talk about the Sonic movie. But
Billy, these are the options you gave us to pick from, honey.
I would have done Street Fighter. That one at least is hilarious and it has Raul Julia. But
also hilarious. Let's stop saying things we don't mean on podcast.
I'm just giving you shit. But
it's fine.
They had to get permission from Shigeru Miyamoto, the guy that created pretty much most of Nintendo, you know, Mario, Zelda, Metroid, all the popular games that you know and love if you are a Nintendo fan. And he is very, very strict on the rights of his characters, which is why Mario wasn't used for Wreck-It Ralph, because they wanted a bigger role for him. So the fact that they were able to get permission in the first place was kind of amazing. Mm-hmm. And to
they
give credit
to him.
To give credit where credit's due, I really do like the production design. Yeah. When you look at it, you're just like, yep, there's really no other movie that at least looks like this. Weirdest ass haircuts in the world. The 90s were a very strange time.
Good times.
I wasn't there, so I can't really say anything.
How about the Fungus King? What was everybody's thoughts with the Fungus King, played by Lance Hendrickson, by the way, legend Lance Hendrickson? What was your thoughts when you saw the turd king,
Christina?
I just thought it was really funny when she's like, I want to introduce you to my dad, and then like his like grimy ass head like kind of comes out. And I was like, literally my thought process was like, wow, like meeting the parents is always super awkward, so like this had to just be really weird, because it's like, what do you do? Like, hey man,
yeah, like do you like, pat it? Do you
know what I mean? Like, you're not going to be able to stand up. And like, I think about the time where like Anthony met my father and he made sure like he stood up in his presence and shook his hand and like, you know, just was like, I'm not a douche. And then it's like, hey, fungus.
How do I do it with this cocoon fungus guy who had just been de-evolved? I guess when we get de-evolved, we just become mushrooms.
I guess that is if you're like a lizard person. But like, there's a scene later on where the Italian mobster, because let's face it, he's a mobster.
This scene is crazy.
He gets turned into a monkey, and then there's just Dennis Hopper going, monkey!
And no one reacts! Everybody laughs! Can you imagine if this happened in real life in front of a mob of people? There was a white man with cornrows who pulled out a super soaker and aimed it at the mobster, and the mobster turned into a monkey. We would all be running for the fucking hills. We would not just be laughing like this is normal. Like, oh,
cool party trick.
Yeah, he became a monkey. Like, he just said,
which brings me to Dennis Hopper. Yes. I don't know if you guys have got this vibe, but I got strong like Dr. Evil and Donald Trump vibes from him.
Oh, he was Donald Trump.
I was just like, he's fucking Donald Trump.
Koopa,
seriously.
Donald Trump.
Do you think maybe Koopa came first and that's how Donald got inspired?
Yes.
Maybe Super Mario Brothers is responsible for not only terrible video game movies, but the reason Donald Trump is the asshat that he is.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he was just watching that and he was just like, it's good.
It's not just a blight on cinema. It's a blight on just society. Super Mario Brothers. That's what
we're living saying. In a society.
Oh my God. But
created by Super Mario
Brothers. But yeah, I thought his performance was great though. Like, yes, this is a terrible movie, but like, he is like fully committed to the role of like asshole in charge of this world. Even when he's ordering his pizza, huh? I'm like, come on. Like, he's like, no mammals hold the worms. Like, it just is like the nonsense. Like, I got like Flintstone vibes from this movie. Another movie that was in the rotation, if I like, which is, I just think this was at a time where they would have like super impressive production design with like terrible movies. Flintstones is another example of that. Like the production design of this movie, and then the acting of Bob Hoskins and Dennis Hopper was good, as much as they hated their lives. Everybody else in the movie, horrible.
Oh my God. Yeah, Daisy, I was just like, my good God. Man. And every time Bob Hoskins opened his mouth, all I thought of was Eddie Valiant. I was just like, they just plucked him from Roger Rabbit. He's literally doing the same voice and everything. Mm-hmm. And Dennis Hopper, I feel like, because he's just such a good actor, but I got the vibe that he just woke up one day and was just like, I'm not going to act today. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm just going to wing it. And
that's what talent can do. Talent can get away.
He's just like, I'm not really going to give my all, but I'm going to act like I'm giving my all. And nobody will tell the difference. And that's what I got from
him. That's what happened. Also, this was right around the time that he was playing the main villain in Speed. And it's basically the same cadence and character he's using in that movie, like when he's being like menacing. So I think he was just like, this was like a workshop for his Speed villain. So while you can blame Super Mario Brothers for Donald Trump and Assassin's Creed and Angry Birds 2 and all the other great video game movies that came after it, you also can give it some credit once in a while. And it gave you credit for one of the best villains of the 90s in whoever he was in Speed. So
yeah, he's such a memorable villain that you remember his name.
Okay, well, we're not going to judge what I can remember right now. Because I can hardly remember my own name right now. But what stood out for you from this movie, from the menagerie of this movie, besides the face-off boots? Which these boots were used for Face Off also. So
it took them a really long time to finally put like the Mario and Luigi outfit on, which was like kind of annoying. Cause I was like, all right, like what are we doing? Like they're legitimate plumbers. Like I think I like the one point where like they get arrested. You're arresting me for being a plumber?
What was the society's problem with plumbers? Is there like a historical?
I don't know. I think it was just that they knew that the plumber had the rock. Like somebody just said, like, oh, the plumber has it. So they just arrested all of the plumbers. So that they could find the plumbers that have it. I think that's all it was. I don't think there was an actual grievance of plumbers.
That's reasonable from the lizards. I also, to go along with that, were they brothers? Were they fathers?
They're brothers. It's Mario Mario and Luigi Mario.
But there's a little bit of an age
difference. How many Marios are there? There's three. Mario Mario and Luigi Mario. They're brothers. They're the Mario brothers. That's the name of the movie.
Which was hilarious.
He's like, been my father, my mother, my whole life. He's done everything.
Maybe that probably wasn't well casted. Very similar to the Diane Keaton, Meg Ryan scenario. So
this is like a very large age difference. Look up when Bob
Hoskins. I'll look this up. I'll give you the exact
age. I love that you guys are hung up on this. But if you ever want to know where Aaron got his terrible jokes, look no further. I will take full responsibility for this.
Oh,
I didn't even realize Bob Hoskins died. That's so sad.
Oh, yeah. This was he went to his grave talking shit about this movie. So he'd be very proud of this
podcast. Right in 2014. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. But his son loves this movie, oddly enough.
I
would love anything my dad's in, so.
That's true.
Not that he's in anything.
He's not in. Yeah, don't stop Googling, everybody. But yeah,
this is rough. This is rough.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think they were brothers.
Bob Hoskins was born in 1942. John Leguizamo, however you say his last name,
Leguizamo,
was born in 1964. And ladies and gentlemen, how math works, that's a 22-year age difference.
Yep.
Well, I can kind of argue with that. Look at the Farmiga sisters. They don't look like sisters at all. I thought they were mother and daughter, but they're sisters. They have like a 30-year difference or something.
Well, this movie was once again ahead of its time, an argument I'll be making throughout this.
Will say I was surprised because I don't think I ever realized that John Leguizamo was in this movie. So I was like, oh, he's the brother. That doesn't make sense.
That was a little weird.
Luigi didn't even have a mustache. What the hell?
Luigi did not
have everything about this movie was bullshit, Billy, and it shouldn't even have been a Super Mario's movie. It should have just been a weird fucking
90s like sci-fi movie.
It should have just been called like the De-Evolver, and that should have been the movie. That should have been the premise, and you could have casted everybody exactly the same except change some of their names.
Yeah.
Because you didn't even have Peach in it anyway, so you're all stupid. This movie's stupid. Everything about this movie sucks. Yoshi sucked. And then there was a point where like they were merging and it was like Koopa and Mario merging and like Koopa has that weird hair. And I looked at Anthony, I was like, oh, are we going to get Wario? Because like he kind of looks the same. Anthony's like, nope, that would have been a good idea. They're just gonna like disappear for a little bit and like whatever. Right. And I was like, this movie is so dumb. It's the dumbest thing I've ever watched. And I'm thankful that I was mostly on my phone the whole time, so I didn't actually have to retain most of this movie, because what a giant waste of my time. My time is precious. Okay. I'm on summer vacation. Okay. I need to be relaxing. I need to be laying outside. Like, and this took time away from me working on my tan, relaxing, possibly reading a book, doing anything that like betters the world. And I'm I spent so time sorry. Garbage movie.
I am so sorry I made you do this.
It's not your fault. It's Aaron's fault. Everything is always Aaron's fault.
It is my fault. I'm not sorry, unlike Billy.
Because Aaron knew this movie was trash and let me watch it anyway. And this isn't the first time Aaron's done this. He's made me watch other crap movies before. And you guys have seen that all on this podcast.
I'm sorry. It was hanging up, not watched by us. Like, I've watched trash movies from you, too.
Isn't Klein a Skotsky?
One, you suggested Blair Witch to me. Good. You suggested B-movie. I had to watch freaking Blade Runner, which I don't give a crap what anybody says about being critically acclaimed. Garbage.
I've never seen Blade Runner. I've never seen B-movie.
I literally tried to spend a week during the snooze fest that was Portrait of a Lady on Fire, so I don't even want to hear your tone right now of hanging up.
Our Get friend Patrick just had a heart attack right now when you mentioned Portrait. Patrick,
I don't really know you. I'm sorry.
Patrick's amazing.
I had to sit through whatever Adam made us watch. So you know what?
That was great. We loved that.
We did not. We did not love anything.
We did too. I it up
because Adam is a nice person.
Oh my God.
Okay, so let's get back to talking about the movie and not how much Aaron sucks.
Yeah, and how much Christina lies to me. God, all the truth comes out through Super Mario. Trust the fungus.
Trust the fungus.
Hashtag trust the fungus.
Which is never said in any Mario game. Like, the people who wrote this movie definitely were on fungus.
Well, because, like, aren't mushrooms, like, not good in the Mario game? So, like, we don't want to trust them.
Well, here's the thing is what happened in, like, what I think a lot of people, definitely when the movie came out, were waiting for is the moment when you ate a mushroom, you became big. Because that's what happens when you eat the mushrooms in Mario is you become bigger. So, like, we're waiting for him to become like Super Mario and like do some sort of jumping on Koopa or something besides hitting him with that super soaker that turned him into a full dinosaur for like half a second before turning him into Jell-O. Mushrooms were used very differently in this than any point in any of the games. I don't know why trusting the fungus happened that moment when like Luigi just jumps and he's just floating. There's nothing in Mario like that. I didn't remember that till a rewatch also, so that was weird.
Should we talk about how this movie actually thought they were going to get a sequel?
Yes.
I mean,
because that ending was, first of all, he's all like, oh my God, I'm never going to see you again. I'm heartbroken. What, the end of the movie is what, 3 weeks? Mm-hmm. It's been 3 weeks without her. She busts down the door. I need your help, Luigi. Boom, movie ends. And then we never know what happens, ladies and gentlemen. How have we slept at night since 1993, not knowing what Daisy / not Peach needed help with?
I know. What could have been? I mean, what could have been? Like, we should have multiple sequels at this point.
Go to outer space.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many.
Levels of Mario.
Right. There could be like 20 fucking Fast and Furious movies. There can be 20 Mario movies.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I love the audacity that this movie had at the end to just be like, we're going to do great. Here's the stinger. Oh, boy. Like, that was what was happening in the early 90s.
I believe they didn't even make half their budget back.
What was the budget of this movie, just out of curiosity?
$42 to $48 million.
Yeah, it's a big budget for sure. So I mean, they really, I think once they had the budget from that production, they had to slap on the Super Mario tag and try to promote it in that way. I just think that Hollywood. So, and then they like went back and they're like, who can we make? This guy can be Toad. We got Yoshi here, it's just this dinosaur. The Goombas are all these green guys, even though they're not green and anything. They're freaking huge. Yeah, they were so tall, all of them, but they did like dancing. And as a kid, let me tell you, that elevator scene when they start, hilarious. Hijinks comedy at its finest, still funny. Like, these idiots, they're just like,
Christina just made like the worst face, just like, are you fucking kidding me? I bet you're probably thinking, oh my God. This is my second favorite with these two children.
If we didn't cover Juice with Robert Kastner on this channel or on this podcast, I would say this is my favorite elevator scene in a movie we've talked about this year.
I don't want to be here anymore.
Da, da, I have that effect on people. Don't worry, Christina.
It is not you, darling. You can come back anytime you want.
Yeah, I think you're going to replace me as co-host going into next week.
And welcome to Digesting Cinema.
And welcome to Digesting Cinema. I am your host, not Aaron Brooks. And with me, as always, is the only reason why the show exists and the number one Schmodown contestant, Christina V. How are you guys doing?
See, I won't lie to you, though, as co-host, host.
I don't know if my 0-2 record makes me a number one Schmodown
contestant. Yeah, exactly.
But it makes everyone at home probably feel better because they'd be like, I can beat her. So,
number one in our hearts.
Whatever, it's fine too.
Yeah, but the travesty of no sequel alone could be a podcast. But what else?
The two idiot cousins.
Was it Spike and Iggy?
Spike and Iggy.
Yeah.
Not based on anybody from the games.
Not as far as I can tell.
So just was it Stephen Fisher? I don't know the other guy.
His name is Richard Edson. Freaking Fiona Shaw for some reason. Who, if I'm a Harry Potter fan, so I knew immediately it was Mrs. Dursley from she's in Harry Potter, right. And I was just like, all right, so I guess Koopa has like a paramour slash. I didn't know why she was in this movie. I don't know why most of these people were in this movie. Mario has a girlfriend, and she's supposed to be like the girl from Donkey Kong that gets kidnapped, like the original Donkey Kong, and. I was just like, oh my God. And they all have like the typical New York accent. So they talk like this all the time. And they're like, oh my God, Daisy, your hair is perfect.
I do love when movies like lean into like, what's the most stereotypical way you can sound if you live in this particular city? And they really just like hone in on that. Like I get it all the time. Like, oh, you're from Jersey. That's how you talk. And I'm like, I don't actually talk like that at all, but it's fine. It's cool. We can stereotype me.
I'll say this, it happened. It's an interesting piece of history. It's about as 90s as you can possibly get.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I think this would have been a great 90s movie if it wasn't a Super Mario Brothers movie, because you're not getting that element in there. If they just did the exact same movie and changed their names, it's still not good, but it's 90s good. It's, I love this as a kid. So like my nostalgia is going to hold on to that as a grown up. You just crap all over it when it's like, oh, this is supposed to be a Mario Brothers movie. And it has nothing to do with the game that I know and love.
So Space Jam.
Yeah, I love Space Jam. I love it.
Okay, but it's not a good movie.
I don't care. I still love it. One of my favorite movies is Wild Wild West, because I loved it as a kid. It's hilarious. I love it. You can love something and have it not be good.
That's true. I do like Batman versus Superman, so I shouldn't talk.
Jam back in the day.
Batman and Robin is one of the funniest movies to ever happen. And yes, the pun game in that movie. Cinema. So yes. Good.
Okay, so is there anything else we want to cover from the movie?
I could do more like behind the scenes stuff. A really sad fact is that Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo would purposely get drunk before every take, and they would drink throughout the entire day. So they were literally just doing this drunk because they were having such a miserable time.
Oh, well.
It's really sad.
That's sad, but it adds up to why John Leguizamo was acting the way he was. Bob Hoskins clearly can hold his booze better than Leguizamo, if we're judging by acting.
Do you think Leguizamo just like used that tactic for the rest of his career? It was like, I did this with Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, multiple time Oscar nominee Bob Hoskins.
I got to work with Dennis Hopper. It was great.
These renowned actors were like, this is fine. You can act like this. So this is what I'm doing.
Although I did love him in Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, I mean, who didn't love Baz Luhrmann?
Romeo plus Juliet.
Yeah,
Romeo plus Juliet with my least favorite DiCaprio era, which was the 90s, mostly because I didn't like his haircut. I think, just
Billy.
Hear me out. I know Christina's going to kill me. She will murder me in my sleep, but I do not like Titanic as much as everybody else does. When he died, spoiler alert, I was just like, yes.
And we're back to Aaron and Christina digesting cinema.
First of all, 90s DiCaprio and that hair is peak.
Yeah, content. That's crazy. That's crazy talk. You did not listen to our Quick and the Dead episode.
Yeah, I did. I did. I thought it was heresy.
She wanted to pounce that 15-year-old's bones. Well, I mean, he was 19 at the time or something.
I mean, granted, it was the 90s. I get it. But that doesn't mean I have to like it.
Bro, shots fired. That is like one of the hottest takes ever said on this podcast.
I'm so offended. You were happy when Jack died? Like, literally no one on the planet was happy when he died.
Yeah. I was happy. I'm literally the only person in the movie, much like how Aaron is literally the only person on this planet that likes the Super Mario Brothers movie. Yeah. I don't know why. It just happens. But
at least I get reasons. You've just hated on Leo for no reason in the middle of the Super Mario.
I did get reasons. It's just personal preference. It's a weird personal preference, but it is a preference. And I just want to put this on the record. I love Leonardo DiCaprio. I think he's one of the best actors ever. And he should have won for Wolf of Wall Street. It was bullshit that he lost to Matthew McConaughey. Even though McConaughey was good in that movie, DiCaprio was much better that year.
Okay.
I can't even talk to you right now. So I don't. Time for our closing thoughts and ratings. This movie is the absolute definition of what a dumpster fire is. I'm not sure anyone actually put in real time and effort into making this. And if they did, they should be ashamed that's them actually trying hard, because that's an actual embarrassment to the rest of the world that that's what you think hard work, dedication, and effort looks like to make something this terrible. The movie probably would have been better if you didn't try to attach a major name to it, and it would have just been the cheesy 90s movie that we all could go back and say, I loved this when I was 6, and I'm still gonna love it when I'm 33 because the nostalgia is there. But you had to crap all over it, and you had to crap all over something else that we loved to make this movie that is so, 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 so bad. Like, there, I don't know if any part of this is actually good. It wasn't very funny. It wasn't exciting to watch. The love story was stupid. And poor Bob Hoskins, may he rest in peace. I cannot believe that you were in such a critically acclaimed movie as perfect as Hook, and then you were in this. This movie is easily the worst movie we have watched so far, by far. I'm giving this a solid, and this is a polite rating, of a 0.5 stars out of 5. End rant.
I knew this was going to happen too. As soon as Aaron was just like, hey, we're going to do the Super Mario Brothers movie, I'm just like, well, shit. I'm going to be on the most critically panned episode ever.
Don't worry. I'll save the movie. Billy, we allow our guests to go last. I'm going to switch that up for this episode. Since you replaced me as host, you can go ahead and give your closing thoughts and ratings next.
Billy. I could never replace you as host. I mean, who else can talk about being Jewish and having awesome thoughts?
Quite a lot of
people. I'm not Jewish. I can't do it.
Go ahead, Billy.
You know, I will say this. People are trying. You can make an argument that is actually worse, but I really do like the production design. Some of the stuff, like maybe half of the stuff, are like good little nods to the game, like the ba-bomb, or just like the Mario and Luigi outfits when they get it. I was just like, okay, yeah, that's fine. On the other hand, yeah, I was just like, this is kind of long. Like, it felt like it dragged on, and I genuinely mean, I think they meant well, and I just felt so bad for everybody involved, which is why I'm going to give this a 2, like a solid 2. Not the greatest. I had a fun time watching it, and it's definitely one of those movies where you can take some mushrooms or just drink with friends, and you can shit all over it. It's a great, like, MST3K watch-along, but I cannot say it's a good movie. And yeah, 2. What about you, Aaron?
All right. Well, that just seems like we skyrocketed up our average rating right there, just alone from that 0.5 abysmal rating, not recognizing the acting talent at all in this movie, not recognizing the beautiful production design. I think this movie fell so other movies to run, I believe. I think a lot of things were tested out from a technical standpoint. That actually worked out with regards to like the CGI, even at a couple of points when it was used. The actors were good. This is a movie that as a kid, I just did love. I thought it was disgusting. I thought it was fun. I didn't care about the bad acting. I didn't care about the bad writing, any of that. Watching this as an adult, I'm going to make my rating based on my last viewing of the movie, because if it was from when I was a kid, it's a 5 stars. And no, this is not a 5-star movie. I'm here to say that on record, Super Mario Bros., not a 5-star movie. So you have me on record. I hope you're all happy. You've broken me. I still think this movie is universally kind of panned by people and dismissed. And I don't think that's quite fair either, because like, I really do think the world it created, not a Mario world at all. But we saw with Cruella a very better version of this being done, where a whole different world was created based on a character and going back and showing it. Obviously, this is not a Cruella level, I was a little bit sad at how bad it was, honestly. Like, and not even fun bad at some points, but just like garbage bad. And I can't look completely away from that. I'm going to give this movie, and this is probably going to surprise a lot of people, a 3 out of 5 stars. That is my rating as an adult. It's making me want to leave a lot of nostalgia in the past, frankly. It wasn't enjoyable for me to have this legend burst it a little bit. But as an adult, I was able to kind of appreciate. I don't know how they made this world that they had with like all the fungus. Like, it was an impressive set. And like, I'm not going to look past that at all. I think that was really cool. The monkey scene at the end made me laugh. And the elevator scene holds up just so funny. I can remember the little noise the lizard made in that elevator scene from when I was a kid. And then like when they close up and it just like that sort of nostalgia trip, you can't. So, but yeah, we have an average rating for this movie. This is one of the lower ones that I can remember, but I think it's higher than Hanging Up, of a 1.8 out of 5 stars.
For it is higher than Hanging Up, but it is still lower than B-Movie.
Which is...
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you hate to see it, but I can't. I don't know how this is lower than B-Movie. That is,
it's not
lower than podcast. Oh, it's not. It's okay. Not.
The movie is okay. A 1 still.
I was going to say that's our basement. Okay, so this is higher than those two. I mean, from an objective standpoint, I think that's fair. But I do think that in general, you look up this movie and there isn't any good things said about it, really. I do think there's room for some good things to be said about this movie, even though overall it's kind of a dumpster fire. I don't even know if I'd go as far as saying I'd put this on for friends and like laugh at it, because it's really not that great. So I'm just going to keep Three Ninjas Kick Back, Three Ninjas Knuckle Up in my mind and not revisit those anytime soon, because I don't want this to happen to any of my other movies. But next week, we're going into, I think, a little more of a possibly serious realm. We'll see what we pick. But what is the official title? Movie based on a book of 100 years or older?
Yes.
Okay. So, Billy, we're going to go to you first. Do you have any suggestions, recommendations? If you have one or two, we'll each kind of give our recommendations and then we'll each pick one and we'll narrow it down together. But do you have any that were on your radar that you wanted to bring up?
I was thinking Pride and Prejudice, the Keira Knightley version, Little Women, Greta Gerwig version, or the 90s version if you want to go back, a pretty decent 90s movie. And I also thought there was one more that I had. Oh yeah, The Jungle Book, just any of the Jungle Books. Really, but if we have to go into specifics, I'm going to go with Rudyard Kipling's Jungle Book, which was, again, the 90s. I'm going to pick better 90s movies than this one. So,
I haven't seen that Jungle Book in so long.
For me, I just had one. I'm not a big reader, believe it or not, from listening to me, everybody. Of Mice and Men, that's mine, Gary Sinise. Just, I did read this book as a youth, but it doesn't qualify. So I have nothing to contribute.
Yeah, Mice and Men is 1937, so not quite 100 years old. I have three that I will recommend. The first one is Gulliver's Travels, which I've never seen. So that just is something fun. If we want to just spend like years of our life watching a movie, we can do War and Peace. And, you know, it is starting to become a little Christmas in July, so maybe a little Christmas Carol.
But which one? Because there's a million of them.
If we decide to go with Christmas Carol, we'll narrow down which one we want to watch. Aaron's never seen any of them.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I've never seen it.
I'm kind of surprised by that.
Well, as a Jew, he doesn't need to really watch it.
I mean, right? Yeah, but I mean, even as a film goer,
I love a good Christmas movie as a Jew. But my pick, I don't know much about a lot of these movies. I've heard the name Pride and Prejudice a few times. I just think of it as old dresses, and that's all I really know about it. But if you know one thing about me, I like a good costume. I like a fabulous gown. I really do. And I have a feeling that I'm going to just be in heaven with that. So give me some Pride and Prejudice. Keira Knightley, just behind Natalie Portman for me in terms of the lookalike brunette actresses. But I am Team Natalie. I'm going to be Team Keira this week. I'm going to say Pride and Prejudice is my pick. Christina, what's your pick?
So as much as I love Little Women, I've seen both versions. And as much as I love that Jungle Book, I've seen that. I think I'm also going to go Pride and Prejudice. I've never seen it. So let's stick with things we've never seen before. And I also like Keira Knightley. And I think she's more attractive than Natalie Portman. So we can argue about that next week.
We're going to leave Natalie Portman alone. So Billy, unless you want to pick something and try to defend it and convince both of us to switch sides, what's your recommendation for this week?
Okay, first of all, hi, Chico. And second of all, Christina, my Leonardo DiCaprio take made you hate me. I'm kind of now feeling how you felt with that Keira Knightley slander. I think they are both very attractive, very beautiful, very talented woman.
Wasn't attractive.
It's but like Keira Knightley was like an icon. She's still an icon.
Yeah, I know. She's beautiful. She's more beautiful than Natalie Portman.
Still.
It's like,
you know what? I'm gonna say, yeah, Pride and Prejudice. Classy. I like a good period piece.
Why yeah.
I like a nice classy agreement for what appears to be a very classy movie. And
we'd have to dress up next week.
Yeah, yeah. We'll wear our finest garbs. Or
I
whatever.
Won't be there, thankfully. So.
But you can all imagine it. Billy, is there anything that you would like to plug for the See You Next Summer podcast that's coming up or anything?
Yeah, just like how you guys are digesting The Force, we are doing our Star Wars month. Next month, we're doing prequel month, which is all the Star Wars prequels. I cannot wait in particular to get to Rogue One because my co-host thinks it's one of the worst movies of all time, legitimately. And
Smart man.
And we've talked about getting Aaron back on the show. He's been on the podcast before. It was a lot of fun. Christina, you are more than welcome to come on the podcast anytime you want. And
absolutely. You extend that invitation, I will be there.
Oh my gosh. I had a really good time today, and I would love to do more, but I know I probably won't, and that's okay. I'm really grateful that Aaron, you gave me this opportunity, and no, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Like, this is one of my favorite podcasts just to listen to, and you guys are really smart and just good people, and just to be able to talk any movies with you guys. No, Aaron, you both are. Don't be that self-deprecating. I mean it. It really is like a form of therapy for me just to watch how crazy everything goes and just how it can go from crazy to just super analytical. And I don't know what the word is, but it's a whole ride range of emotions that I love listening to every week. And yeah, if this is my one episode, then I'm really grateful. And yeah, thank you guys so much for having me on.
Yeah, yeah. You can find Billy at Matt. Yes, first of all, Billy, we love you, and there's no final or whatever, you know, we never know. It's not see you later, it's see you soon. Yeah, you can find Billy at Master of Puns 96 on Twitter. He lives up to that nickname fully, both in person and virtually. So give him a follow over there. See you next summer podcast. They have their Twitter at SYNS pod. That's POD. Yeah, check out Billy. Subscribe to the podcast. Raul and him are doing great stuff over there. Raul is a great guy, and as is Billy. Thank you for all the kind words, Billy. We love doing this. So if we can make the difference in one person's life and a person as amazing as you, that is more than enough for us. The rest is just gravy, or in this case, fungus. But Christina, do you have anything coming up, or are you like being a normal person again?
No, I don't have anything coming up. If you guys want to watch me lose another Schmodown match, that's up. Other than that, just keep supporting everybody in the Schmodown community. People are putting out great content. Special shout out to A Certain Point of View. They're just wonderful people. I love everything that they do. So definitely, if you are not watching them, please do on Sunday nights. But yeah, just keep listening every week. We appreciate everybody that takes time out of their life to listen to us.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been a pleasure. We're going on 2 days of recording, Christina and I, between digesting The Force and digesting cinema, which means you have listened to us for nearly 2 days. So that is that's a wild thing to kind of look at as we're going further along. But yeah, this is an absolute pleasure. Billy, you are a super guest today, and just confirms my theory that the Super Mario Brothers movie brings people together. So for Christina Mario, for Billy Mario, I'm Aaron Mario. Have a Mario day, everybody.